Welcome to the Execution Zone podcast, where we delve behind the scenes on the stories of successful entrepreneurs and leaders. We understand how they translated their ideas and strategies into strongly executed campaigns, overcame the barriers to execution on their journey, and how they play a high-performance game to get results in their business. Welcome to this week's episode of the Execution Zone podcast. I'm Abby White. This week, we are going to be speaking to the absolutely incredible Lucy Bingle, who is a LinkedIn expert and absolute guru. I am so excited to bring Lucy to you. I actually had looked high and low for quite a while to find a LinkedIn guru. And I personally find, my personal belief is that LinkedIn is slightly different to the other platforms, has to have a slightly different strategy, and presents slightly different opportunities. And so I've really been looking for quite a while for someone who truly just knows LinkedIn inside out, and is an expert in their field. And Lucy absolutely fulfills this for me. There was quite a few things that Lucy shared with me on this podcast that I actually hadn't even heard before. So there are some real gems and nuggets of gold that you might not have come across. Now, bit of background about Lucy before we delve into it. Lucy Bingle is a LinkedIn strategist. She provides expert LinkedIn consulting services and LinkedIn sales and marketing training nationwide across Australia. Lucy is passionate about helping companies and individuals to build their brand awareness and thought leadership. LinkedIn is the perfect platform for lead generation and social selling. And I have to say, particularly right now, now that we are all in a position where we are remotely selling and often working from home and having to adopt a virtual selling approach, this conversation could not be more relevant in terms of its timing. Individuals and brands have the opportunity to position themselves and connect with their target audience using LinkedIn. With a clever LinkedIn strategy, businesses can amplify their brand, share their stories, company culture, track and record industry insights, resulting in the generation of real commercial opportunities. And I have to say that for our business, whilst I don't use LinkedIn as well as I would like to, it's number one on my priority list to invest in a little bit further and be a little bit more consistent about. When we do use it, we actually really, really, really do get a strong ROI and some strong results from LinkedIn as a platform. So I have to say it's actually a platform that I'm very, very passionate about and just want to share this conversation with Lucy with you so that you too can get up to speed with the current opportunities that Lucy is seeing using LinkedIn and how you could be utilizing it further in your business. Grab a notepad, grab a pen, grab a coffee and enjoy. So welcome, Lucy. To set the scene, I would love to hear from you a little bit more about what you do as LinkedIn guru and LinkedIn expert, and really those sort of types and projects and clients that you're working with to really sort of bring it to life for us.
Sure, no problem. Okay, so the way that I talk about my business is that I explain it as a digital marketing agency that solely focuses on LinkedIn. So we work with a range of clients from SMEs to large corporates. Predominantly they are in the B2B space, but they are across all industries. So we tend to focus on developing and implementing LinkedIn strategies for those businesses. We also provide LinkedIn masterclasses, LinkedIn consulting for both strategy and advertising purposes. And I've got a team of account managers, and so their job is to also manage LinkedIn company pages and senior leaders' LinkedIn profile pages. And we do another thing that's called LinkedIn network build out. So we will build communities for individuals so that they can then start to communicate effectively with their audience, you know, through the community that we've grown for them.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. I think LinkedIn is such a hot focus area right now, which obviously we'll dig into. But I'm kind of curious around, we were talking earlier and you said you started specializing in LinkedIn about 5 years ago, which is actually quite, you know, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon now. 5 years ago is actually quite early into the piece when LinkedIn sort of really started bubbling. What's the backstory to it? How did you start to really focus down a niche into LinkedIn?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I've been a marketer for over 20 years. So just to give you a bit of background on me. And so that's quite a long time. And I was for 11 years over in the UK working in financial services as a marketing manager across some of the biggest banks there. And then when I came back to Australia, I was for 7 years marketing director for one of Asia Pacific's largest boutique search firms. And what that means is that they go and find senior leaders to take on new roles as CEOs and CMOs, etc. But one of the weird jobs that fell into my bucket was training 65 consultants on how to use LinkedIn effectively and to find these candidates that they would put into their new roles. But always wearing my marketing hat, I used to think to myself, well, given that LinkedIn is the world's largest professional platform and all these great people are there, why wouldn't we also be marketing our services to these people? Because we know that once they're placed in their new role as CEO or as chief marketing officer or whatever, the first thing they will do is go out and build a new team. So they will then go back out to market and look for a search firm. So why aren't we already marketing to them on this platform? So I then put a couple of strategies into play for that business. And sure enough, by sharing area of specialization, talking about our expertise and insights, by talking about our talent and our culture, we actually got a lot of really great engagement and we started to pick up new work. And that's when I had that light bulb moment where I thought, actually, why is this constrained to recruitment industry? Why then isn't all businesses marketing on this platform? So I then put my exit strategy together and I went to my boss and said, look, I think there's going to be this thing called LinkedIn marketing. And I reckon people are going to start marketing their services and their businesses on this platform. And he was like, really? And I said, well, we've been doing it for nearly 2 years. And if you look at our CRM system and where we've picked our sales up from, they've come from LinkedIn, so I know it works. And then he said, right, well, you better sign us on then. So I actually walked out the door with them as my first client, and that's really the start of the story. And now I go around, you know, the city into all different, you know, places globally doing exactly this, like working with clients, developing, implementing strategies where we talk about expertise, insight, knowledge, culture, people, and we build brand awareness and we generate leads.
I love that. That's such a good story. And the fact that you walked out with your first client, that's perfect.
It's very exciting.
I love as well, the reason I really wanted to connect with you when I first initially reached out to you on LinkedIn, of course, was because I'd actually been hunting for quite a while for someone who specializes just purely in LinkedIn, because like we were talking about earlier on before we started recording, you know, there's so many people who specialize in digital and try and specialize and look at all different platforms, but actually they all work differently. They've all got their own quirks and purposes and so on. And so I really, really love, that's one of the things I love about you, is you are just purely focused on LinkedIn because it is a different beast.
And I think that's a really good point, Abby. It was really easy for me to have actually left the business because I'd been in marketing for so long and gone and set up a digital agency that was all things to all people. But I knew that I needed to niche because I don't actually believe that works, because I think you're then thin across many channels, where I would rather deep dive and be really expert in what I know. And what I know is B2B space, and what I know is LinkedIn. And I can only get better and better at connecting those people and those brands with their target market.
Yeah, I love it. My mentor is a massive super fan on positioning and like what's the position in the market you want to own. And it's really interesting because you, for me, have done that. You know, you think LinkedIn, you think Lucy, and it's really brilliant how you've niched and how you've done that. So one thing that I want to talk to you about is you mentioned there how you've started looking at how all industries can use LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is such a beast. It's such a powerful sort of sales and marketing platform for many businesses. But I think I notice there's still quite a lot of confusion and misperceptions, because we have some people we speak to say, oh yeah, but that's only for B2B, or that's only for so-and-so, that's not for me, or that's only for large corporates. So I sort of want to lay a bit of the foundations to really understand, who do you see LinkedIn working for really well?
So I think traditionally there is truth in that it is a, you know, predominantly B2B marketplace. And it can be quite corporate, but I am seeing that change, because what underpins LinkedIn is people and professional people. So we don't need to constrain that to B2B or B2C. It just needs to be professional people that work within all industries. And the reason I know that's changing is because the biggest growth areas on the platform are things like education, FMCG, retail, And they aren't traditionally recognised as B2B areas. So I think that's important to note as well. So therefore, I suppose what I'm saying is, if you're professional and you've got a business that has something to sell, either services and products, and you know that your market is already on LinkedIn or people are positioning themselves there, that is the opportunity. That is the opportunity to develop a strategy that connects with that market and tells your story and talks about your expertise and your services and products and get your brand out there. So I don't think you're constrained. I think, yes, there is, you know, there is obviously many, many people from the B2B space and from financial services and professional services, but they're from all over the place. And one of the good tips that I would give people is, if they're wondering whether they should be doing it, go into the search bar on LinkedIn and look for your customer avatar. So look for the job title that you need to be connecting with, and then see what your result list looks like, because I bet you you'll be surprised and you'll see that there are probably thousands or hundreds of thousands of them, and then that will push you to make a decision one way or the other whether you should be investing time and energy into developing a strategy.
I love that. That is such a really good, highly practical tip. And it's funny because I look at even left field people who might think, oh, actually, that's not for me. I'll give you an example. My brother's a running coach. Ironically, I've snuck into my brother's place today and recording from his place. So, you know, hopefully you might hear me. And I've sort of talked to him in the past about going, well, he coaches quite a few C-level execs and he has a lot of C-level exec clients and he coaches quite a few entrepreneurs. So I've sort of talked to him about, yeah, you might be a running coach and you might not hang out on LinkedIn a lot, but hey, your C-level clients, they're hanging out on LinkedIn. And go check them out. And so he started posting more on LinkedIn. And so it's quite interesting that if you just look at it sort of from a cold face of, am I B2B, B2C, it doesn't actually translate. And that's why I love your tip of looking at, you know, in the search bar, is your ideal customer avatar actually on LinkedIn and hanging out? And that gives you your answer. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And that's really, and I would, and I mean, I think your brother's probably figured it out, but I reckon he could actually do some really good stuff on LinkedIn that would actually really connect with his audience. And the other thing is, because remember, you're trying to interrupt an individual's feed or their day by actually pushing your brand and content in front of them in a meaningful way. So when I'm thinking about your brother, I'm thinking, well, he's probably actually got some really fabulous insights and content that would actually be a really delight to have interrupt my day on LinkedIn, you know, because it's not dry, his content. Yeah. It would actually be really inspiring and interesting. Yes, so I actually think there's probably a really nice little strategy that he could put into play on that platform.
I'll let him know when we finish. We'll give him a bit of free consultancy. So one thing I'd love to talk to you about is, I do find personally that LinkedIn can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming, because you have some people saying, you know what, you've just got to focus on building up your profile. Other people say you've got to focus on LinkedIn Sales Navigator. You've got to do this. You know, if we were boiling it back, I'm a massive fan of the four disciplines of execution, which is all around, you know, bringing focus. I don't find it naturally easy to do. So I sort of sometimes find I need that structure to go, okay, if I'm going to do a couple things on LinkedIn and I'm going to do them really well, what are those two or three things? Because I know if I try and do 15, I'm not going to do any of them. So are there any sort of fundamental basics that you think, right, these two or three things on LinkedIn, this is what you should be starting with, and this at a bare basics, you should be doing at least this?
Yeah, sure. So you'll hear, if you ever go on any webinar with me or masterclass or anything, you'll hear these three words that I say all the time, and they're personalized. Actually, I'm even saying them incorrectly. Hang on. Optimize, personalize, and socialize. Okay, so they're the three words that are my absolute catch cry. So I would say to anybody that was listening to this, the first thing they need to do is optimize their profile page. So make it best in class. Make sure that it reads more like a capability statement. So it talks about the challenges that you solve for your clients, talks about the skill set and what value you add to people's lives, you know. Make sure you make it vibrant and dynamic with great imagery, rich media files, you know, good headshot, background images, all that sort of good stuff. So that's the quick thing that everybody listening to this needs to do, is go and review their LinkedIn profile and bring it up to speed and make it best in class. Then they need to create a personalised connection strategy. So they need to identify who they need to be talking to, who is it that they need to have in their community. And then they need to personalise that by actually reaching out and connecting with those people and being transparent and upfront and sending, you know, personalised connection requests that really talk to why you're reaching out, you know, what value you add, and, you know, just being warm and friendly with it. Then once you have started to grow that community, you need to start to socialise on the platform. And I have this little program that I call LinkedIn for Breakfast, which is all about putting rhythm into your week with your LinkedIn for Breakfast or your LinkedIn marketing, okay? So actually diarising in your calendar 3 to 4 times a week where you are going to go onto LinkedIn and you are going to engage with what is happening in your feed, so what your community's up to, making sure that you are liking and commenting on your peers and your industry leaders and your network's activity. And then once a week, really getting that courage to share a high quality piece of content that you will wrap in smart commentary and tag the appropriate people and add hashtags and push out to your community, because that will solidify you as a subject matter expert and really lift your own personal brand presence on the platform. And making sure that if you are a company or you know, you work in sales and marketing or you own a company or whatever the case may be, that you're also bringing to life your company page and sharing insight, knowledge and information on that page. Yeah. So I suppose, but you want 3 things. The optimizing of your profile page is super important. Growing a community and investing time and energy into reaching out and actually building a valuable network of people is super important. And thirdly, actually putting some rhythm and consistency into your LinkedIn marketing efforts throughout the week. So engaging with what's happening in your feed, sharing valuable content, and really engaging with your own business's company page.
I actually want to tap into that a little bit more about creating a rhythm and actually, you know, getting quite consistent around it, because it's really interesting. You know, this podcast heavily focuses around execution, as the name gives away. And I actually, I'll use myself as an example. I have absolutely seen the benefit of LinkedIn. We've had business out of LinkedIn. However, I'll be really honest, sometimes I'm really, really consistent at it. It's almost like going to the gym. You get into the rhythm of it, you get into the groove and all things are good. And then suddenly you fall off the wagon for one reason or another, like I have at the moment. And then it's hard to sort of get back into it. So I'm kind of curious around how do you help, you talked just then about finding a rhythm. How do you help, you know, your busy clients, I guess, to execute on those sort of 3 principles and on, you know, their LinkedIn strategies and really be consistent about it and not good this week and bad that week? You know, you mentioned before about diarizing some time, you know, is that the sort of thing that you encourage people to do to start to be consistent in their execution?
Completely. And I think it is hard. I think it's actually the hardest piece of the puzzle for marketing is actually finding rhythm and consistency. And the best way that you can overcome that challenge is by scheduling. So when I say scheduling, yes, sure, in your calendar, like your diary, scheduling when you actually physically go on the platform and do stuff. But even before that, actually creating a content calendar. So whether that be for the company page, so for the business, for the corporate strategy, I suppose, you know, making sure that there is a content calendar that has posts going out at different intervals throughout the week that are sharing knowledge, talking about industry, talking about your people, talking about business announcements. But then on a personal level, actually having a little content calendar for yourself. So thinking, and the way I talk to clients is in an ideal world, I'd probably like to see an 80-20 rule where 80% of the content that you're sharing or that you're engaging with is on-brand sort of content, so stuff that the company's creating or stuff that you're creating for the business. And then 20% of it is actually high-quality third-party content that talks to industry and talks to what's happening out in the market, because that really then demonstrates that you're across what's happening in your industry and that you're thought-leading.
I love that. Do you have any rules? around, yeah, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I think they're the tips. The tips are the scheduling piece and having a bit of a content calendar, because that's what keeps you in check and that's what makes your job easier.
Mm. You've talked a couple of times there around high quality content. Do you ever recommend with people, right, I want X number of posts a week to be video, or like the type of high quality content?
Yes. So I like to see in an ideal world a mix of content. Video, we know, is super powerful, 6 times more consumed than the written content, so it cuts through. Also, you know, LinkedIn's got an algorithm. I mean, we won't deep dive too much into the algorithm, but the algorithm is what they call a dwell algorithm, and so therefore the way an individual appears in their community is better if they're creating quality content that they're sharing and quality commentary, because people will therefore dwell on their posts and on watching their videos and on reading their content. And the longer you dwell on an individual's posts or content, it tells LinkedIn that that individual has something to say and is important and is worthy of appearing more. So that's why I always bang on about quality, because you are wanting to be recognised as expert, as thought leading, and as somebody that has something interesting and insightful to say. Yes, it is great for LinkedIn, and yes, it works well for you in terms of, you know, making you appear more, but even regardless of LinkedIn, you want that anyway, because it reflects well on you as a professional individual and it demonstrates that you're expert.
I love that. I never knew that. That is fascinating. That makes so much sense. So finishing on execution and on that sort of train of thought there around making it a little bit easier to actually execute some of these strategies, are there any tools or systems or processes or anything like that that you sort of recommend to your clients to be able to, again, be more consistent around their LinkedIn strategy?
Well, I don't know about tools. I'm not quite sure what I would say there. What I think is important is to make your job easier in finding that content is probably, so when we work with clients, we always find out who their audience is first, so what that audience would typically look like, and then we look at themes within industry, so what's actually really resonating at the moment, or what are people talking about within that industry, or what is it that you as an individual want to say about your industry or about themes, so that we get a better understanding of what the talking points are. And then we look at, well, where are your people reading? So, you know, are they looking at the AFR? Are they looking at, you know, certain publications, or, you know, McKinsey's, Harvard? Where are they actually consuming content? And so from an individual perspective, and the reason I'm telling you this is I'm thinking about how can an individual use that process. I think if they could be really clear on their customer and then clear on the points of interest or the industry insights that they want to sort of share or extrapolate on, and then if they can think about a list of publications that they would naturally reference or go and find content, then they can put rhythm in their week to actually find that content, you know, wrap it in smart commentary, tag those individuals in the publication, and then add those 3 to 5 hashtags after that commentary. And that way, you know, I'm not trying to create a new day job for everyone, okay? I say this all the time, but it's the truth. I'm not here to all of a sudden say, now you're expected to be on LinkedIn, you know, hours a day. I seriously only want individuals to be on the platform for 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week. So they can do that with their cup of coffee, but I want them to do meaningful stuff, which actually matters and makes a difference. And that allows them to be seen more, to also be seen as expert, but then they can get on with their day job and do what they're really, really good at.
Yeah. I love that you just honed in on as well around when you are doing LinkedIn and you're doing your 3 to 4 times a week, actually do something that matters and that's meaningful, and, you know, add commentary and so on. I've noticed a sort of bad behavior, or I think it's a bad behavior, but I'll get your take on it, is someone might see, say, their company posts, we're doing ABC event, and someone just does reshare and there's no comments, there's no additional contribution to it. It's just a reshare or just a, you know, something like that. Or they liked their company page and people are then viewing that as being proactive on LinkedIn or their LinkedIn contribution. I personally find that's a bit of a bugbear because it doesn't really add me value. It's not adding your own thoughts or so on. So I guess that sort of leads me to ask you, you know, we've talked about what people should do that's positive and doing well, and what are the things that can positively help towards your LinkedIn profile and your LinkedIn activity and sales, therefore. But what actually, I guess, are some of the bad behaviors that we should sort of try and avoid, and some of the gotchas and the things not to do?
Yeah, sure. So I think the main ones that I don't like are when people are really salesy. So they just get on there and they start flogging their wares. People are not interested in that. In fact, it's a massive turnoff, and they'll probably find that people will disconnect with them. So LinkedIn is definitely not the place to start being super salesy. So that's one thing that I would recommend against. The other thing is when people don't bother to proofread what they've written or even read the articles that they then on-share. And I so often see that happening. And to me, that just smacks of laziness as well. Mm. So, again, remembering that at the end of the day, when you're active on this place, on this platform, you're basically representing yourself and putting your own professional brand forward. So you want to make sure that you're doing it right and you're doing yourself justice. So make sure you proofread everything you write, because people are very quick to judge on typos, on grammar, and even if you're saying something insightful. But also make sure that you really have read the content that you're talking about, because as we know, titles can often be very misleading and not be reflective of what is actually in the content of an article. So they sound like really simple things, but actually they really matter. So just don't be salesy. Make sure that you've really checked your copy that you're sharing or your and that you've proofread it, and also make sure that you have read the content that you're talking about and that it is in line with, you know, your own thinking, and that you've actually pulled out something insightful and interesting to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what the bit that I love is, the something insightful and interesting to say piece. That's why I think one of my personal bugbears is, for example, so say I just put a post up after this with a picture of you and I and said, oh, great to chat to Lucy today. Great. What I think would be better is go, love chatting to Lucy today. Here are my top three takeaways from our conversation. So I'm actually providing value to the person reading the post.
Yeah. And you know, Abby, most people don't realize, but when you share a post, you only get exposure to 3-5% of your network. Okay,
oh,
so
wow.
You know how often people say to me, oh, the algorithm's not working and, you know, I'm not getting out to all my network. No, you're not, and I'm not either. But what I do know is you're getting out to, say, 3-5%. You don't know who they're going to be, so make sure whatever it is that you're sharing is really quality and insightful and actually demonstrates that you are the go-to person for whatever you do or your area of specialisation. Because you want it to matter. If you've only got that opportunity, make it count.
Yeah, and I want to sidetrack for a second on this, actually. One thing that I personally held back from was, so, for example, when I was trying to record some videos for LinkedIn, I was like, oh, well, that's really obvious, or that's really stupid, or everyone knows that. And I recently sort of nervously posted a video around, you know, the top three mistakes people are making on webinars, something like that. And I thought, oh, God, maybe I'm being really obvious and I'm teaching people to suck eggs and, you know, is this going to backfire on me? And I did it off my iPhone, you know, with some good lighting and all the rest of it. Only took me a few minutes. We got thousands of views. Obviously, that's only vanity metrics, but we ended up working and connecting with a new client in the UK. And obviously, we're now based in Australia from this video. And so the video, and we got some amazing feedback. And I got so many private messages from people going, oh, that was really valuable. So I guess my point of that story is also almost getting out of your own way of what we're talking here about being insightful and being valuable. You might actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, you might diminish and go, oh, well, that's not important or that's not insightful, but actually what you have to say probably is. Is that something you come across?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. And I think you've got to back yourself. You know, I mean, sometimes when you're, and I do this all the time because I talk this language every day of the week, that often I'll think, gosh, you know, this must be so dull, or I'm not actually illuminating at all, like, because I know it inside out. But actually, most people don't. And that's why you are expert. So you know, by you doing that and that little video of, and I remember that, I know exactly the video you're talking about because I actually commented on it. You know, simple is great, and you've got people's attention for such a short period of time. So if you can share your knowledge in a really simple way that is instructive and also adds value, that's exactly the sort of content that we want to be seeing, you know. So don't feel that you need to over-egg it or that you don't have something, I don't know, that's to say. You do. Everybody has something to say and everyone is expert. Mm. And, you know, so I'm thinking as you're telling me that about that little video, I'm thinking, wow, Abby, you should think about doing a series, you know, a little series of five videos with these short, because that's, if that worked so well on that first one, it makes me think there's probably other little gems in there that you should be doing.
Right, I'm writing my action list as we go. And it's interesting, one of the best tips I got on this was from Julie Masters, who has been on the podcast and also spoken at some of our events. And she said that anytime anyone asks her a question, she writes it down in like a questions folder. And then when she's stuck for ideas on content of what am I going to record that video on or that blog on or whatever it might be, she looks at the question list and uses it as prompt. And I thought, that is good.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, look, I think that is one of the hardest parts now with digital marketing is, you know, you have to be constantly creating content and it's a monster, you know. So if you can find ways to keep track of ideas that will resonate and make a difference to people's lives, like that's an awesome one that Julie's done. And I'm actually going to write that one down for myself.
It's a really good one. She is incredible. So I have to ask you about the C word, the dreaded C word of COVID. Mm-hmm. COVID has obviously seen a massive shift in, you know, how we're working. We've all had to start embracing virtual selling. I'm really, really, really curious to see from a LinkedIn perspective what changes you have seen, if you have seen any, during COVID. Has COVID changed the game?
Oh, yeah, look, I think there's no doubt that COVID has changed the game for sure. Just even up from a statistical point of view, you know, there's been a 26% uptake of usage of LinkedIn since in the last quarter since COVID started. So admittedly, that would also be a lot of job seekers now on the platform. Mm. But what I think the biggest game changer is, and what I want to see organisations and business owners really take note of, is that given that face-to-face has now gone for the moment and everybody is doing virtual selling and virtual marketing, your people are your biggest advocates, okay? Mm. So if you can set them up for success on LinkedIn to be talking to your brand, talking to your services and offerings, supporting your overarching strategy and content strategy, that is so powerful. And it's also a cheap way to market. So make sure that if I was a business, make sure that you are empowering your people to be positioned correctly on the platform, because this is how people are doing their research and finding out about your business and about your offering and therefore about your people. And then make sure you're educating your people on best way to go to market and best way to support content strategy and being on message, and give them permission to support the content that's being shared on the LinkedIn platform, because they are your best brand advocates. They are your fans. Nobody knows your business like your people do. Mm. So that is what I would say. Yeah.
Is that the number one opportunity that you think has now emerged?
I think it's the number one opportunity. I mean, I feel it's such a big opportunity. I mean, you know, today we launched LinkedInduction.com, which, you know, I would love everyone to go and have a look at. And it's built on this premise. It is literally, the tagline is your people plus your brand. And the whole idea being that you do this 50-minute online training course where I present the whole thing. It's six little videos. And at the end of that, all your people know how to optimize their profile pages, they know how to personalize their connection strategy, and they know how to socialize on the platform. And why you want to do that is because then that gives them the opportunity to get behind your brand on LinkedIn and really amplify it to their networks and to their customers and their prospects. Mm. Yeah.
That's really powerful. I think that's, what was that URL again? Sorry.
LinkedInduction. Yep.
Okay, I'm going to put that in the show notes for everyone.
So it's basically like an HR onboarding program for all your employees, existing and new hires.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask you before we sort of let you run away, I want to get to a bit of a quick fire round with you. You know, you're obviously a business owner yourself. I actually love your story about how you came to be in business. You've built a highly successful business over the past 5 years or so. Do you have any sort of high performance habits or rituals or things that, you know, you think have helped you play a big game and build the business that you have?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. I mean, you know, like, you know, I fall off the wagon sometimes and my high performance habits aren't so high performing. But what I do know is I hire really well. So, and I hire people, like, in terms of, yes, they've got skill set, but I hire people that I really, really like and I trust and I feel connected to. And that has worked every single time. So all my people are wonderful and I love them dearly. And where they may not have been really strong in certain skills, they can learn. So I think a hiring strategy is super important. Hiring the right fit for your business is really, really important. On a personal level, keeping yourself fit and well is so important to running a good business. So I find that when I'm firing on all cylinders is when I'm keeping up with my fitness training. It's when I'm making sure I'm taking time to take the dog for a walk. It's when I'm eating well and when I'm sleeping well. So I know they sound really obvious, but I think that they're super important. And it's also, and this is the bit I'm rubbish at, it's also taking time to switch off and reconnecting with your family and actually putting the laptop away and the phones away and actually spending time with the kids and my husband and actually doing some fun stuff. And I'd say, to be really honest, and this is going to sound terrible, that's probably the bit I'm not so fabulous at, but I know if I can find that balance between fitness, health, lifestyle, family, everything works so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. And ironically, so I'm recording this first day back in post holiday, and there was definitely moments of working in said holiday, and definitely don't find it easy, sort of, particularly when you're a business owner, to, you know, there's not really as good an off switch to switch off there.
Yeah, and it's hard in COVID too, you know, we're all working I think so much harder, and you know, it's because everyone's in a heightened state of anxiety and we don't know what the future holds, and it's all pretty oppressive and scary. And when you're a business owner, you just work so hard. And it's not until you own a business that you realise that.
Yeah, it's not. It's funny. I was talking to you before. I've sort of decided to stay up here in Noosa where I was on holiday and work from here. And, you know, today I've been running around finding different co-working spaces and so on. And everyone's going, oh, my God, you're working from Noosa. That's incredible. And I think everyone thinks I'm on a beach with a pina colada. And I wish I was. And, you know, luckily you can see me on video now that I'm not on a beach with a pina colada. And so it sounds, I think, with being a business owner, some of it can sound quite glamorous because it's some of it on social media in particular is sort of, you know, made out to be glamorous, and definitely a hell of a lot more hard work behind the scenes than people might see on the surface.
Yeah, but it's still good, you know, and it's awesome when you see you know, ladies like yourself giving it a red hot go. I get excited by that, you know. I love seeing female business owners succeed, so hats off to you. It's good.
Likewise. So look, before you go, I would love to ask you if there was just one thing that you could leave people with. And, you know, you've given us so many top tips, which have been incredible, and a lot of sort of really highly practical top tips. If there's one thing that you just desperately want people to go do as their next step on LinkedIn, what would it be?
I really think at the moment, during these really tricky times, everyone needs to go and review their existing LinkedIn strategy for their business and their LinkedIn profiles, and they need to reset the strategy and they need to go and make sure they've revised their profile pages.
Yeah, I need to do that. That's on my list as well. Thank you. Lucy, where can people come and find out about your business and yourself and your team? Where can people connect other than the obvious of LinkedIn?
Yeah, so they can obviously connect with me, Lucy Bingle, on LinkedIn, and that's absolutely fine. I'd love them to. Or else they can go to one of two websites. They can go to the agency website, which is lucybingle.com. And, of course, I'd love them also to go and check out linkedinduction.com and look at how they can connect their people to their brands.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I do encourage everyone listening to go and do that. You know, I mentioned at one point during the interview, I was searching quite hard for quite a while to try and find a LinkedIn expert. And I found that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there were a lot of digital marketing experts, but not really anyone who just purely niched in LinkedIn and knew it inside and out. So when I first came across Lucy, I got really, really excited because I knew I'd found, you know, the ultimate guru on LinkedIn. And I've certainly got benefit from connecting with you, following some of your great tips and content that you share. I love the post with the dog in particular. So I do encourage everyone to go in and connect with Lucy and check out those websites as well, which I'll put in the show notes.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Abby. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Lucy. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode with Lucy. I hope you got as much out of the conversation as I did. Now, you can find Lucy at www.lucybingle.com, or of course, you can connect with her on LinkedIn. Her full details are also in the show notes for you. If you want to find out some more information about myself and the business, you can visit us at salesredefined.com.au. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you'll be the first to hear about our new episodes as they're released. And don't forget to check out our website, theexecutionzone.com, to find out our latest events and about our membership options.